Chapter 131. I need to take a nap. One by one, the buttons were undone. His fair complexion and delicate collarbones were on full display, a man radiating an air of nobility. As he undressed, his face held a look of restrained desire. The sight before him was surely enough to tantalize many. Finally, Callum admitted defeat. He stared at Callista with a steady gaze and said, "A little sister wouldn't watch her older brother undress." Suddenly, Callista scoffed, retaliating without hesitation, "A brother shouldn't always be thinking about kissing his sister." With that, she turned around and left without waiting for Callum's response. Callum didn't have much time to think. He swiftly stripped off his clothes, leaving only a pair of relatively long shorts on, before turning over and lying down. Callista had also gathered his emotions, setting aside 88 silver needles for the acupuncture treatment. Utilizing this acupuncture technique depleted Callista of her internal energy every session, even inflicting damage to her vitality. Yet, after each treatment, Callum, who had been tormented by the K-virus, would feel a comforting warmth spread throughout his body, as if he was relieved. During this particular acupuncture session, neither of them spoke. Callista chose to remain silent, while Callum was lost in thought, trying to decipher what Callista truly felt for him. If one were to talk about affection, her demeanor had grown considerably colder than before. Yet, to say she had completely let go didn't quite align with her actions. Callum was uncertain whether he should hope for her to let go or not. The way they were interacting currently felt as if he had stolen those moments. Their interactions fluctuated. Sometimes they were close and sometimes distant. Yet, it was impossible to delve deeper into their relationship. After all, no one would have the time to ponder upon such matters when life and death hung in the balance. The most complex thing in the world was emotions, especially for women like Callista, who could not see the truth of the situation clearly. After the acupuncture session, Callum felt a sense of relief washing over his body. The pain that had been plaguing him seemed to dissipate under a wave of warmth. Even if it was just a temporary relief, it was enough to make him want to sigh in comfort. He turned his head, watching as Callista meticulously collected the needles. The sight of her slender waist swaying in front of his eyes stirred in him an urge to pin her down and playfully tease her. He closed his eyes, suppressing his desire once again. At that moment, Callista playfully flicked his waistline. "Not bad. You have a great ligure." As soon as she spoke, all of Callum's chaotic thoughts flew away, leaving him with nothing but a sense of he had an impressive set of abs and a perfect chest line up front. He could not help but wonder if Callista only just realized his good physique. While he was thinking of that, Callista had already taken the needle to sterilize it. What she held in her hand was essentially a weapon. Anything contaminated with the K-virus had to be incinerated and deeply buried, or thoroughly disinfected. Fortunately, the K-virus had a poor survival rate outside the human body. Thanks to the team's treatment, the virus activity in Callum's body was reduced to its lowest level. Otherwise, they would have retreated to the depths of the wilderness long ago instead of treating anyone there. After the disinfection, the sum had already begun to set. Callista returned to Callum's room to rest. During this period, she had been living with Callum, the purpose being to keep a close watch on his condition. If Callum were to suddenly succumb to a viral outbreak, all their efforts would have been in vain. Though the evening seemed relaxed, once Callista left for school, Callum found himself under the watchful eyes of 7 or 8 people. Not to mention the intense series of treatments he had to undergo. It was only when Callista returned that Callum could breathe a sigh of relief. Unbeknownst to them, Callista had somehow become the leader of the small group of renowned experts. At that moment, Callista was utterly exhausted. She collapsed onto the small bed, lying face down, and spoke in a muffled voice. "I need to take a nap. Wake me up in half an hour," she said, as she hadn't yet finished her studies for the day. Callum naturally glanced at the test questions on the small table. Before he could even speak, the other person had already fallen silent. Gradually, the sound of Callista's even breathing filled the quiet room. After spending some time reviewing documents and attending a video conference, Callum noticed that Callista was still asleep. Half an hour had already passed, but Callum couldn't bear to disturb her. She looked exhausted, her complexion somewhat pale. Clearly, the strenuous acupuncture technique she had used took a significant toll on her body. If it hadn't been for him, she wouldn't have resorted to such dangerous acupuncture techniques, putting herself at risk. Callista, his lover, was truly good to him, so much so that his will to live grew stronger. He couldn't bear to imagine who would be there to protect such a wonderful person as her if one day he were to die. The mere thought made him seethe with jealousy, almost to the point of murder. At that moment, dinner was served. Callum suppressed the hostility that had been creasing his brow, his gaze once again becoming clear. Although he wanted to let Callista sleep longer, he knew it wasn't good for her to skip meals. So, after dismissing everyone, he brought the meal to her bedside. Sitting next to her, he prepared to wake her up. The lamp by the bed would light up automatically when night came. Under the warm glow, her face lost its sharpness in the day, appearing surprisingly gentle. It gave Callum the urge to lick her mouth, savoring her sweetness when she was not uttering provocative words. The urge he had forcefully suppressed began to bubble up in the stillness of the night. He didn't even dare to gaze at Callista's face for too long, for fear it would spark wild thoughts within him. He gently pinched Callista's nose tip, hoping to awaken her. Unexpectedly, Callista began to breathe through her slightly opened mouth. Chapter 132. They are non-contagious. Callum found the situation both amusing and heart-wrenching. Just how exhausted must she be to be so deeply asleep? "Little one, you'll be hungry if you don't wake up soon." His deep voice filled the serene space with tenderness. Callum let go of her nose and lovingly touched her hair. "If I survive, this girl will burn me wife." Amidst his disturbance, Callista couldn't sleep any longer and glared at Callum, only to realize it was already dark outside. She jolted upright, her expression somewhat dazed. "Why, didn't you wake me?" Callista's voice was a bit hoarse. She rubbed her eyes, still feeling extremely sleepy. Her head nodded as if she was about to fall back asleep at any moment. "I thought I'd let you sleep a bit longer, seeing how exhausted you were. Let's cat. The food is already cold." Callista discreetly pouted. I don't want to eat. She had overestimated herself and wanted to continue sleeping. Well, studying can wait until tomorrow. How can you not eat? Callum raised an eyebrow, feeding her. Open up, here's your favorite fish sticks. Initially, Callista was somewhat resistant, but Callum wouldn't let her get away. No matter how she dodged, the fish stick seemed to follow her like a shadow. Coupled with the enticing aroma, she couldn't escape the temptation. In a daze, she opened her mouth and ate. After swallowing, she subconsciously said, "Don't eat this. It's not good for you." Callum gave a slight nod. "I won't. These are for you." Then, he took a piece of sweet potato from his plate. "Open up. I know you dislike sweet potato, but you can't be picky." Callista ate with her eyes half closed. After finishing the last bite, she furrowed her brows. "You should eat more of this." Callum couldn't help but laugh, his eyes sparkling brightly, his smile radiant. Unfortunately, Callista didn't see I'll care for some pasta. Callum's voice could best be described as soothingly gentle. Upon hearing his offer, Callista opened her mouth, waiting to be fed. In reality, she was still half asleep. Looking at her glossy lips, Callum didn't find them dirty. Instead, he hoped she would keep being sweet and adorable and allow him to care for her when she woke up. The person feeding was delighted and the person eating was also satisfied throughout the meal. After Callista finished eating and resumed her slumber, Callum began to eat. He had never imagined a day would come when he would willingly cut the leftovers of another, using the fork she used, and finding the experience both sweet and fulfilling. The intense yearning to possess her repeatedly surged within him, only to be forcefully suppressed each time. He methodically ate his meal, yet his gaze was fixed on Callista. He had no desire to hurt her, but his yearning to claim her grew stronger with each passing day. He was terrified that he would lose control one day and end up hurting her. He couldn't be so selfish. As the days went by, Mirabelle had been lying low ever since she caused a stir. After Callista had taught Quincy and Yelena a memorable lesson, they had been behaving themselves. Even the Langley family wasn't exempted. The same went for the Wolford family. Sterling was severely swindled on a land purchase deal, which led to a capital flow issue, leaving him swamped. When Callum found out Callista was kidnapped in Lost Aria and the Wolford family was behind it, he directed all his anger toward them. Several significant collaborations had fallen through, exacerbating the capital flow issue. However, that was only the beginning. After several confrontations, it was common knowledge throughout Horrington that the Wolfords and the Fairchilds were sworn enemies. Under those circumstances, the Fairchild family held a banquet to announce Callista as their goddaughter. The news came like a bolt out of the blue. Benedict was uncertain whether to feel joy or worry upon hearing the news. Yelena's mind began to race. The socialites who hesitated to act due to Callum's engagement could finally show off their prowess. Even Mirabelle assumed Callum didn't like Callista and wanted to call off the engagement, while Wanda adopting Callista as her goddaughter was only a form of compensation. Whether the Fairchild family regarded the goddaughter with great significance or not, would depend on the grandeur of the banquet. At that moment, Callista was examining Callum. It was certain that Callum had to make an appearance that night. No matter how many inhibitors he took, the risk still remained. Any of his bodily fluid was potentially lethal. Fortunately, the research team had some good news to share. Sean hurried over and divulged, "Ms. Stafford, the research interest you suggested was indeed correct. Professor Lawson mentioned that your blood was rather unique and hoped you could provide samples regularly, for it would greatly help us." Once the check up was done, Callista began to button up Callum's clothes. "No issue there, but surely you've made some progress, right? After all, it's been so long." She had a subtle hint of arrogance in her tone. "Well, as the saying went, one got influenced by the company one kept." She was on the verge of becoming a part of the Fairchild family, so it wasn't out of place. Sean felt a pang of guilt under her scrutiny. "We've modified the inhibitor, so now it can make Mr. Callum's saliva and sweat non-contagious. So, only blood and that fluid can't be suppressed." Callista raised an eyebrow. "All right, administer it then." Callista commanded, stepping back a short distance away. Send gifts. Chapter 133. Thumb ring. Only then did Callum lift his gaze toward her. During the period of constant companionship, Callum had grown accustomed to unconsciously seeking her out. He didn't want anyone else to interfere with anything that concerned her. Yet, Callista didn't catch his gaze and took advantage of the time to study. Exams were just a couple of days away. Whether she could advance and join the combined master's and doctoral program hinged on that one instance. Callum found himself surrounded by a group of people, obstructing his view of Callista. He cast a displeased glance at them, leaving everyone with an inexplicable sense of having done something wrong. After the injection, everyone assisted Callum in changing his clothes and ushered Callista behind another partition to get dressed, as she was the star of the day. "How are things going with the Wolford family?" Callum suddenly asked in front of the mirror. At that point, Quintus had already become much more composed. "The Wolford family has been struggling with their capital flow for quite some time. What was initially a minor issue had escalated into a major problem after several failed collaborations. They had to shut down several subsidiaries and were even considering a marriage alliance between Sterling and someone from Cloudon Bank of Summerbank. Although they disparaged Sterling's humble background, the bank CEO's daughter was smitten with him at first sight." With a cold chuckle, Callum looked into the mirror. His flamboyant good looks were still the same, yet he had a ruthless glint in his eyes. "Young ladies are always fickle, minded and infatuated with handsome men. Tell Donati, I've chosen a decent girlfriend for him." Quintus nodded, yet with a hint of confusion, he asked, "Mr. Callum, since we've already found evidence of the Wolford family's arms trafficking, their deal with the rebel troops from Lost Aria that is equivalent to exploiting the nation's crisis for their personal gain. Why don't we just capture them all in one fell swoop?" Callum fell silent, a flicker of resignation and indulgence crossed his eyes. "Why? Because my wife forbade it? There might still be a chance for them to make a comeback if we don't eliminate them thoroughly, but since they want Callie dead, I must ensure their downfall so that they can't ever get back up. Of course, the main issue is Callie didn't want me to interfere in her affairs. Therefore, I have no choice but to whittle down the enemy's power and influence, and then provide the right opportunity for Kali to deliver the fatal blow. That's right. I'm just that indulgent toward my wife. Of course, if I were to die suddenly, these pieces of evidence would still be sent to the authorities. The Wolford family won't be able to escape justice. However, Kali might blame me in such a scenario and resent me for intentionally making her owe me a favor she can never repay. Perhaps, she'll even hold a grudge against me for the rest of her life. Callum grinned contently at the thought. His whole being radiated joy that no one could have guessed. He was plagued by illness and possibly on the brink of death. After the banquet had commenced, many who scrutinized Callista eventually wanted to be acquainted with her. As the occasion attracted the best of the best from various industries, many individuals, who rarely appeared at social events, had shown up. All of them were there for one reason only, Callista. Isn't that the king of oil, Todd Dolby? He actually showed up. Callista is truly impressive. Despite not becoming the lady of the Fairchild family, she's now the goddaughter they hold in high esteem. The Fairchild family's wealth she's inheriting in the future isn't that much different from being the lady of the house. Look, that's the king of diamonds, Lucien Hollins. It's extremely difficult to meet with him. Who would have thought he'd show up? Many highly accomplished individuals immediately conversed with even more impressive figures, their keen interest and respect piqued by the yet, to appear Callista. The fact that the Fairchild family accepted her as a goddaughter and held the ceremony with such grandeur had them believing that she must have had exceptional qualities. Meanwhile, Callista was changing into her gown backstage. She had initially chosen one, and everyone thought it was quite good. However, Callum vetoed it in the end and somehow procured a gown, tailored to fit Callista. It was even more exquisite than the one she was wearing. The luxurious dress was unveiled, revealing a stunning gown that resembled a starry night sky. Each star on the gradually darkening indigo backdrop was crafted from diamonds. The dress was already dazzling when held up. If worn, she was bound to become the most eye-catching person at the entire bonker. Callum asked everyone to step back when it was time to zip up the dress. He stepped forward and smoothly slid the zipper up for Callista. His movements were slow, exuding a sense of ease and racy. In the full, length mirror, he stood behind Callista, a head taller than her, yet their reflection was unexpectedly perfect, reminiscent of a married couple. The delicate fairness of her collarbone gradually vanished beneath Callum's fingertips. After securing the zipper, he didn't retreat. Instead, he fetched something, his hands looping around Callista's waist. He rested his head on her shoulder, slipping something onto her finger. Upon glancing, Callista discovered it was the thumb ring she had shattered. Although it had been repaired, fine cracks could still be seen. However, they were hardly noticeable unless one looked closely. Of course, the ring also stirred up some unpleasant memories for her. Doesn't this ring belong only to the lady of the Fairchild family? It's inappropriate for me to wear it, Callista said matter-of-factly, oblivious to how close Callum was to her. The people around dared not look, as if a mere glance would set their hearts racing. The man and woman reflected in the mirror were equally dazzling, as if a match made in heaven. The man even slipped a thumb ring onto the woman's finger, reminiscent of a wedding band. There's nothing inappropriate about it. If I were to die, you would be the lady of the Fairchild family. He added silently, as the heir. If survive, Callista will most definitely be the lady of the house. No doubt about that. Chapter 134. Love her so much. Callista felt something was off, but the banquet was about to start, so she didn't dwell on it too much. The corners of her mouth curled up, forming a small smile as she glanced at herself in the mirror. How do I look today? The woman reflected in the mirror exuded an icy elegance. Dressed in a gown adorned with diamonds, resembling a starry night sky, she looked like a deity emerging from the darkness, out of everyone's league. Callum looked intensely at the mirror and exclaimed, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." The attire she wore, along with the headpiece, was all made for their engagement ceremony. If Callista had been more observant, she would have noticed that Callum's outfit complemented hers. Her hairpin and his cufflinks were the indicators. Why does he have to stand so close to talk? The awkwardness set in belatedly, and Callista quickly said, "In that case, I'll head down first." After speaking, she extricated herself from Callum's embrace, and left under the housekeeper's escort. Callum found it quite unsettling when his arms were suddenly empty. He pursed his lips, looking at his lone reflection in the mirror. A hint of darkness surfaced in his usually dignified gaze. What can I do to keep her by my side forever? Am I supposed to drag her down with me? For the first time in his life, Callum was plagued by such dark thoughts. The thoughts lingered in his mind, nearly driving him to madness. No, I can't. Callie has liked me for over a decade. Even at the tender age of 9, she had been willing to risk her life to save me. Even though I misunderstood her, she still had feelings for me. When she saw I'd been poisoned, she didn't hesitate to use her own body to neutralize the taurin. She had been so kind to me. How can I possibly entertain the thought of dragging such a good person down? Callum closed his eyes. When I went to Lostaria, Callista had followed me there. I'll never forget how we fought side by side, nor would I forget the sight of her, standing proudly in the fiery forest after taking a life. Every time I thought I couldn't possibly love her more, she would always find a way to make me fall even deeper for her. Whenever I felt my love for her deepened, I realized my affection could never match the extent of her devotion. Just imagine the uproar when her medical skills that can extend one's life are revealed. Many have been eager to find out the reason I'm still alive to this day. My family has kept it tightly under wraps. Yet, many still suspected Callista. In order to save me, Callista had risked her very life. She wouldn't have needed to expose herself to such danger if it weren't for me. Besides, the recent events deeply touched me, even though I didn't express it. The doctors and experts' gazes were wary as if looking at a monster. Only Callista had treated me as she did before, as though I was normal. She never repelled my nearness and even took the initiative to approach me. She had done so much for me. Her kindness toward me left me trembling with excitement. A sudden, intense desire to see Callista surged within Callum at the thought. The thought of her stunning slash everyone with her radiant beauty, revealing her allure to the world, drove him mad with jealousy. And comcar firm le boulet in Bursida. Mr. Callum, it's time for you to head down. Before Ryder could even finish his sentence, Callum was already gone. Baffled, he was unsure why Callum was in such a rush. It could only be said that others wouldn't understand those in love. As expected, Callista's entrance had captured everyone's attention. As the light shone upon her, many held their breath as if afraid to startle the angel that seemed to have descended from the night sky. Her makeup was light, save for her striking red lips. Anyone else wearing the gown that shimmered like stars would have paled in comparison, but when Callista wore it, she exuded an icy, noble elegance, as if she was standing atop the stars. No wonder she could be a part of the Fairchild family. Silas gave Callista a complex look, suddenly understanding why his wife was so fond of her. She's akin to a radiant pearl and outshone her mother by far. A soft call reached her ears and Callista turned her head, only to find Callum standing at the end, reaching out to her. Immediately, the rumors about Callum's disdain for Callista were discredited. Callum, who rarely attended banquets, not only showed up that day but was even content to play a supporting role. It was just unclear why Callista hadn't become his wife. Yet, Callum was oblivious to the sounds around him. As he watched Callista approach him, his radiant smile emerged. Even in the night, it shone as brilliantly as the sun. The engagement party he had envisioned countless times before was hardly any different from the banquet before his eyes. Callista naturally didn't turn down his outstretched hand in full view of the public. She placed her hand in his, which he immediately clasped tightly. He led her forward as if partaking in a certain ceremony. Many were left stunned, especially the young folks who were completely captivated by the strikingly handsome man and beautiful woman. Wasn't today supposed to be a welcome party? Why do they seem as if they're at an engagement party? They're just too perfect together. Mr. Callum is so handsome. Only a beauty of her caliber can stand beside him without being overshadowed. Another person scoffed, "So what if she's pretty? It's not like Mr. Callum is into her. Else, she wouldn't have gone from being his fiancée to his godsister." Chapter 135. Persecution from every direction. "But it doesn't seem like Mr. Callum dislike her. You don't know that," someone speculated maliciously. Perhaps Mr. Callum looked pleased today because he finally got rid of her. That's probably why he was being nice to her. Callum held tightly onto Callista as they walked toward their parents under the watchful eyes of the crowd. The scene was strikingly similar to a dream Callista had long ago. "Why are you here? You're not in good health. Didn't I tell you to just show your face for a bit and then go rest?" Callista asked in a hushed tone. Callum responded in a similar tone. "Others will hold you with greater esteem if I did so. The outsiders might not be a problem, but not the relatives. They can be quite annoying and hard to hand/outsiders. Callista followed Callum's gaze and believed him. Although Callum was Silas' only son, the other branch families had sons and daughters respectively, so they had long been eyeing the main family covetously. When Callum hadn't shown up, they looked at her with scrutiny and disdain as if questioning her value for Silas to view her with great importance. However, after Callum arrived, their attitude became much more cautious. Even though Callum was young, since taking over, he had proven to be even more assertive, wise, capable, and vibrant than Silas. He was acknowledged as the head of the family. Being favored by him naturally elevated Callista's goddaughter status to new heights. All eyes were focused on stage, while the atmosphere was tense and chaotic offstage. Embarrassment crossed Yelena's and Quincy's expressions when they looked at Benedict beaming on stage. The Fairchild family had only invited Benedict up on stage, making it clear they didn't want anyone else from the Stafford family involved. Moreover, Benedict also reaped the benefits from Callista's sudden rise in status. That wasn't good news for Yelena. Mom. What has that B**TCH ever done to deserve being a part of the Fairchilds? Originally, Quincy was quite pleased when Callum finally broke up with Callista. Callista's goddaughter status was likely of little importance, merely a compensation the Fairchild family gave to placate her. Contrary to expectations, the reality was entirely different. The Fairchild family had held such a grand party for Callista. Moreover, Callum personally accompanied Callista, which was completely different from what she had imagined. Upon seeing Callista in all her glory, Quincy grounded her teeth in frustration, seething with envy. She's the goddaughter of the Fairchild family. That's far more glamorous than the lady of the Stafford family. Yelena said, isn't it because her biological mother is close to Wanda? Suddenly, she burst into laughter. But this is good, though. Callista is now considered a member of the Fairchild family. As Callista's sister, doesn't this mean you can visit Fairchild Manor more? Now that Callum is no longer engaged, you can win him over. Callista's status as a goddaughter is nothing compared to you. The Yost family shared a similar sentiment as them. Mirabelle's features were twisted, but her mother was quite optimistic. Well, that's a relief. The Deemnet engagement is finally broken off with my daughter's excellence and closeness to Callum. No one is more suited to be the lady of the Fairchild family than our Mirabelle. However, Mirabelle's father, George Yost, was quite rational. That's not necessarily the case. Mr. Callum's engagement has indeed been broken off, but have you ever considered the socialites, who had watched from the sidelines, ready to take action? It might have been better when he's engaged. Given Mirabelle's intelligence, she could have taken things step by step. Glancing around, Mirabelle noticed that many eyes were indeed fixated on Callum, their gazes sparkling with interest. Instantly, her mood plummeted. In her eyes, Callista was undoubtedly conniving. By being a part of the Fairchild family, she could gain an advantage by being in a favorable position. What a crafty plan indeed. Mirabelle's mother, Regina, proposed, Mirabelle, you could ask Callum to dance with you later. It's been quite some time since you last saw him. There might have been some misunderstandings between you two from someone's instigation. You must seize the opportunity to clear things up. Mirabelle nodded. Don't worry, Mom, I won't let Callista succeed. In the past, Callum only had eyes for me. This will never change. Perhaps the happiest person in the room was Benedict. He had originally thought Callista couldn't win Callum's affection and thus had their engagement called off. Yet, he didn't expect her to be a part of the Fairchild family. Could there be a better outcome than that? Therefore, Benedict gave Callista a hearty pep talk, then cheerfully went to the drinks tables. Since his status had soared, he had found his confidence and was on cloud nine, exuding an air of triumph with every step he took. After making a grand introduction of Callista to everyone, the banquet reached a crescendo. Callista, while responding to the toasts of the crowd, spoke to Callum. "Your health isn't at its best right now, why don't you get some rest?" How could Callum just stand by and give others an opportunity to take advantage of pursuing Callista? "I feel fine." In reality, he was experiencing a pricing sensation throughout his entire body, yet not a trace was reflected on his face. Instead, he looked quite enthusiastic. "It's been a while since it's been this lively. I'll stay here a bit longer. How can I possibly pass up the chance to dance the opening dance with her later?" Chapter 136. "I will only dance with Callista." Wanda had previously arranged for someone else to open the dance floor with Callista out of for Callum's health. However, seeing their son showing interest now, they were naturally more than happy to facilitate it. At that moment, the music in the hall changed. Callum bent forward slightly. Amidst the envious glances of many women, he extended a gentlemanly invitation gesture toward Callista. "It's happening. We've never seen Mr. Callum dance before." Callista felt immense pressure under the scrutiny of numerous gazes from every direction. Yet, Callum said with a smile, "Beautiful lady, I wonder if I might have the honor." Before he could finish his sentence, suddenly, a mood killer appeared. "Kal, are you feeling better now?" Mirabelle appeared in a white, puffy dress, a vision of innocent beauty. Her long, brown curly hair framing her almond-shaped eyes made them appear charming and enticing. The gazes of the surrounding people subtly shifted as soon as she began to speak. The former fiancé and childhood sweetheart on the same stage is intriguing. People had always whispered about Mr. Callum's complex feelings for Mirabelle. Indeed, she's the epitome of innocent beauty, but compared with Callista, the difference is clear as day. If Callum hadn't chosen Callista and gotten together with Mirabelle instead, his aesthetic taste would certainly be questionable. Callum's expression shifted subtly, and he slowly straightened his posture. "Do you need something?" His aloof demeanor and the tone he just used with Mirabelle were worlds apart. Anyone around them could tell that Mirabelle had fallen out of favor. Mirabelle was visibly in disbelief. "I can't believe Callum is so indifferent at our next meeting. He only allowed me to take care of him up close previously. How did things change so drastically in such a short period?" It must have been Callista intentionally sowing up discord. Mirabelle glanced at Callista. Suppressing the resentment in her eyes, she smiled and said, "You look stunning tonight, Callie. However, since you're Cal's former fiancé, it wouldn't be appropriate for you to share the opening dance with him. After all, your statuses are different now. It's such a pity, as I was looking forward to seeing you and Kal open the dance floor together." Callista raised an eyebrow. "Looking forward?" Without hesitation, she grabbed Callum's hand. "Since someone's looking forward to it, let's not dampen their spirits. Let's do the opening dance." At that moment, the hall had cleared to form a dance floor, waiting for the evening's main characters to commence the dance. Upon hearing Callista's words, the surrounding people began to cheer, encircling the two of them. Mirabelle's eyes widened, and she turned green. So, she quickly forced a laugh, saying, "Callie, you've misunderstood. I meant that considering you're now practically half a daughter of the Fairchild family, and given your previous relationship with Kal, it wouldn't be appropriate for you two to dance together. So, how about this? You should dance with my cousin instead." Man, as she spoke, she pushed a man forward. Callista scoffed, thinking she would be out of her mind to give the Yost family a chance to steal the limelight. Before she could even speak, Callum's reaction was even more intense than hers. He gave the man a cool, piercing glance before leading Callista off the dance floor, declaring assertively, "In this world, I'll only dance with Kalikal." Mirabel was taken aback. "What does Callum mean by that?" She quickly took a few steps to catch up, exclaiming, "Kal. You." Callum halted in his tracks, his thick eyebrows furrowing deeply. "Also, who gave you permission to call me like that?" He shot Mirabel a displeased glance. "You think you're worthy?" Mirabel's face instantly turned ashen. She could even hear mocking laughter behind her. A wave of relief washed over Callista after hearing his words. She peeked out from behind Callum and added, "Another thing, don't call me Callie. We're not close." Someone burst out laughing, believing Mirabel would be too embarrassed to show her face for some time. Disregarding whatever expression Mirabel had, the two of them entered hand in hand, dancing the opening number. After giving Mirabel a harsh lesson, Callista was in a great mood, her lips quirked up high, reflecting her inner joy. Only then did Callum realize how simple it was to please Callista. "It looks like Mirabel can indeed cause trouble a bit longer." Mirabel had already run off in tears. If she didn't leave then, she would have had to endure even more humiliating remarks. "How could this happen? How could Callum treat me like this? Even though he was aloof in the past, he was always accommodating toward me. Why did things change? Could have forgotten that I saved him back then? Or could he have already discovered that Callista was the one who saved him in his childhood?" The thought startled Mirabel, causing her to feel a little apprehensive about looking at the bustling crowd behind her. A chill began to creep up her spine. Provide any evidence to prove that she was the one who did it? After all, who would believe that a 9-year-old girl could rescue a 13-year-old boy from the water? Hence, Callista must have done something. She must have sowed some discord. Otherwise, Mr. Callum wouldn't treat me like this. That d-end woman. Just then, a figure from the crowd started walking toward her. Chapter 137. I am done dancing. Mirabel. I thought you were formidable. Yet you were completely suppressed by that despicable Callista. Seeing that they were alone, Quincy led Mirabel toward a secluded spot by the swimming pool. Don't tell me you've already decided to give up, she exclaimed. Mirabel had already composed herself when facing outsiders. She looked somewhat gloomily at Quincy, this person who was neither friend nor foe. You didn't make it clear over the phone. Why has Callista changed so much? It's as if she's a completely different person. Mirabel's mention of it made Quincy feel wronged. She gritted her teeth and said, How was I to know what triggered this demented woman? That day, I merely arranged for two men to assault her to annul the engagement. but who knew that after that night, she would turn as vicious as a mad dog, attacking anyone in sight. My mom has warned me to steer clear of her for a while. Mirabelle shot her a look of resentment. You must have given something away. She wouldn't be like this if she hadn't been deeply affected. Quincy looked at Mirabelle with distaste, scoffing. You act as if your hands are clean. According to Callista, she already knows that you were the one who drugged her last time, causing her to lose her virginity. Do you dare to say you didn't contribute to her going mad? Upon hearing that, Mirabelle's eyes widened in fear, not because she was scared of Callista figuring out it was her. After all, she had made it quite obvious during that time. I fear that, back then, I had held Callista in contempt and employed not so clever tactics. I haven't left any traces behind, have it? Has she obtained some evidence that made Callum trust her? What do we do now? Mirabelle's face, devoid of any pretense of a smile, gave off a gloomy aura. She's practically half a member of the Fairchild family now. Who knows, this could all be part of her scheming, trying to gain an advantage by being in a favorable position. We can't let her get her way. Upon hearing her say we, Quincy couldn't help but curl her lips. However, with a sudden idea, she smiled and said, I think Mr. Callum still prefers you. After all these years, you are the only one he treats differently. I bet Callista has been sowing discord in front of him, and given how busy Mr. Callum is, you won't know when you'll see him next if you fail to clear up the misunderstanding tonight. I'm sure you know that since Mr. Callum is still recovering from his injury, Callista has been using her little medical knowledge as an excuse to stay at Fairchild Manor every day. This constant companionship, her words made Mirabelle feel a great deal of pressure. Should I let things continue like this, Callista would be the only person in Callum's eyes from now on. Back in the banquet hall, the cheers grew louder and louder. Callista felt like holes were forming in her body from the many gazes piercing her. She had hastily learned a few steps in preparation for the dance tonight. She wouldn't have been nervous had she been paired with the pre-arranged partner. However, it had to be Callum. No one had ever seen him dance. However, as he was a natural aristocrat, dancing was an inherent skill of his. Callista couldn't understand how he maintained his dance skills, especially since she had never seen him practice. Focus. Callum looked down at her, a soft smile playing on his lips as he spoke to her with a fondness that was hard to miss. All Callista could see when she snapped out of her reverie were his overwhelmingly dazzling eyes. She accidentally stepped on Callum's foot in a moment of distraction. Startled, she hastily stepped back, but due to her instability, she nearly fell over. A gasp rippled through the crowd, not because Callista had taken a nasty fall, but because, at the crucial moment, she had been tightly shielded in the arms of Callum. To their surprise, the man reputed for his indifference toward women didn't push her away. The significant height difference between them allowed the girl, who was as captivating as a goddess from the starry skies, to exhibit a sense of delicate dependence for the first time. Her face was nestled into the crook of Callum's arm, her waist firmly held by his strong hands. She could hear his slightly rapid heartbeat, a pleasant sound that seemed to resonate from within his chest. So you going to get up yet? How long do you plan on staying in a finally, even with Callista's usually thick skin, her cheeks were pink. Arms. Amidst the clamoring discussions, she stood upright and glared at Callum. Her eyes were gleaming, her cheeks flushed with a rosy hue. Despite the fierce and sharp look in her eyes, it seemed as though Callum reveled in it, her gaze leaving him feeling all tingly and numb. Callista found the look in his eyes peculiar. Even though he was half a meter away from her, his seemed to be trying to reel her in, as if he wanted to consume her whole. Gaze. The sudden oppressive aura caused Callista to furrow her brows. Unconsciously, she stepped back, only to see Callum reverting to his previous demeanor, an image of nobility with a faint hint of gentleness. He even extended his hand toward her again under the beam of light. Shall we continue? Although he framed it as a question, Callista felt his dominance at that moment. She still extended her hand. After all, even if she had become half a member of the Fairchild family, she couldn't compare to the person who held the reins in the household. In the profound silence, her senses heightened. The closer her hand moved toward Callum's, the more palpable the oppression radiating from him became. The adoration in his eyes was like an all-encompassing net, leaving her with a feeling of breathlessness. Finally, she lightly slapped his hand, saying in a voice that held a hint of petulance, "I'm done dancing." With that, she turned with a cold expression, lifting her skirt as she walked away. This action left the guests, who had been captivated by the couple, with expressions of astonishment. Chapter 138. The Confrontation. Is she throwing a tantrum? Even though she has become a part of the Fairchild family, she has rejected none other than Mr. Callum, but what made it a rare sight was seeing Callista pulling out her chest and holding her head high, leaving as if in defiance. Callum slowly curved his lips, feeling as if she was fleeing in panic. I seem to have failed to rein in my desires just now. What should I do? It seems I've scared my little one. Benedict wore an awkward expression as he apologized to Silas after seeing that. My apologies. Callie, it's her first time dancing, she might be a bit shy, it's not that she, he ended the sentence in his mind. She intentionally disrespects Mr. Callum. Silas revealed a thoughtful expression, while Wanda quickly reassured with a light-hearted laugh, "No worries. This is a matter between them youngsters. In reality, they've been getting along splendidly before. Callum must have done something today to upset Callie. She's a good girl." Wanda was right. Callista was obedient and sensible. If all she had was fondness toward Callista previously, she was grateful to her now. How great of a danger would Calic face if word got out that she possessed medical skills that could extend one's lifespan? Furthermore, each time she performs acupuncture for Callum, she would deplete her vitality. Yet, there was no telling when he would finally recover. Not only did Callie demonstrate peculiar medical skills that put her in danger, but she even risked her health to prolong Callum's life. Our family aren't ungrateful people. Forget about Callie throwing a tantrum, even if she wants to commit murder or arson, we'll hand her the knife. Seeing the Fairchild family treating Callista as they always had. No. Even better than before, Benedict was relieved. With his limited capabilities and being busy at home, he felt that having a godfamily like the Fairchilds caring for his daughter was an incredibly fortunate situation that was hard to come by. After Callista went out, she felt much better. Her long skirt trailed over the immaculate marble floor, and as the moonlight fell, the diamonds adorning her dress sparkled like a true starry sky, a sight too beautiful for words. It made her entire being seem to radiate light. Her mind wandered from her exam to her previous life at the research center. She recalled the sporadic words spoken by those eccentric individuals and the medicine they had tested on her, along with her reactions at the time. At that thought, Callista suddenly let out a bitter laugh. What other reaction could there be? It was pain, intense pain as if it was drilling into the very marrow of my bones. Had it not been for my astonishing willpower and a terrifying desire to survive, I would have gone mad or died during those 3 years I spent in darkness. Thinking of those people now, it wasn't that I don't harbor resentment, and I don't need to. I'm slowly coming into her own, and soon, trample over every one of them. Why should I bear any hatred towards the dead and the defeated? Chuckling softly, Callista strolled by the pool, her mood significantly improved. Just then, someone blocked her path. Palliatl what of Setluhava Dana to make KAL change his quinid toward Ma. Lud in a white dress at that moment. Quincy hid in the shadows to enjoy the drama. Grandad was right. I should let them fight it out and reap the benefits from their conflict. Callista is difficult to deal with, but Mirabelle is, after all, the childhood friend. She can't possibly be without any influence. Callista chuckled lightly, her demeanor growing increasingly distant and aloof. Mirabelle, aren't you aware of what I've done? You used to see me as stupid and did not, so, clever things. To me. Now that I've become smarter, are you regretting your past decisions? No wonder your attitude has completely changed. Mirabelle's voice was soft. From her perspective, it was understandable that Callista's personality dramatically changed after suddenly discovering that her best friend and sister were harming her. However, I have no idea what you're talking about. What did I do back then? Haven't I always been good to you? Callie, you need evidence to slander someone. Mirabelle broke into a smile, seemingly reverting to her previous innocent and harmless demeanor. Callista shook her head. Evidence. Isn't your character the best evidence? The fact that you could poison your teacher until he's mute and steal his accomplishments goes to show that you're not someone who'd risk their life to save others. Mirabelle's expression changed instantly. It was you who meddled in Xander's matter, she exclaimed. How did she find out? That's impossible. Callista readily accepted it. She didn't mind bringing down her enemies, much less making them hate her even more. You guessed right. It was indeed me. Do you think Callum will still believe you when he realizes that the pure and innocent you had done such a thing? If I were to tell him I had saved him back then afterward, there wouldn't be a shred of doubt in his mind. UB*TCH. Mirabelle suddenly strode forward. Is this how you sow discord? Someone close to me carried out the incident with Xander. I was completely unaware. Besides, she then continued inwardly. If it were for the position of the Lady of the Fairchild household, I'd surely be willing to adopt a ruse of self-injury. It's just that Callista was so naive at that time, willing to risk her life to save others, that I had no choice but to take advantage of it. But that wasn't your original idea, yet you still claimed it as your own to the public, didn't you? Callista pointed out, her tone casual yet incisive. Admit it. You're nothing but vain, malicious, and hypocritical. In simpler terms, you're doing immoral things while maintaining a facade of innocence. Shut up. Mirabelle had never imagined anyone could infuriate her to this extent. Just shut up. Chapter 139. Lashing out. Callista was not at all intimidated by Mirabelle's distorted expression and her suppressed resentment. Far from retreating, she advanced with a composed stride. Are you angry? When you first instructed me to prepare the medicine, to drug Callum, and subtly hinted at Callum to investigate me, I was furious too when I found out about all of this. Callista's eyes were clear, carrying a faint hint of amusement. Any signs of anger or resentment were now gone. After all, Mirabelle was not a formidable opponent. Who would fear someone destined to be trampled underfoot? Mirabelle took a half step back, a surge of anger welled up within her, too intense to suppress. Yet, she refused to admit that she had actually been intimidated by Callista. Callista spoke casually. When we were kids, you were the only one who didn't mind my loner tendencies. You comforted me, played with me, and that's why every time Mrs. Fairchild invited me, I always brought you along. That was a tale from a long time ago, so distant that when Mirabelle heard it, she felt as if she was on trial. You said you wanted to get close to Mrs. Fairchild and to have an older brother. When we were young, I naively introduced you to them, spoke highly of you. I was foolish, only realizing too late. Before you came along, Callum was merely indifferent to me. But after you entered the picture, his attitude toward me worsened. I can't help but wonder what you did. By the pond, the reflections of two figures, one black and one white, mirrored their emotions. The autumn wind was chilling, making Mirabelle feel as if it was piercing her bones. You once broke Mrs. Fairchild's jewelry box, and I took the blame for you. At school, when you struggled with your grades, I helped you cheat whenever I could. You said you were afraid that Quincy would resent you because of me, so I kept my distance from you. But in reality, you just felt embarrassed by my presence, didn't you? After all these years, I thought I had been good to you, Mirabelle. Why would you harm me like this? And not just once, but repeatedly, each time worse than the last. Callista's relentless questioning finally pushed Mirabelle to the brink of collapse. What do you think you are? It's your honor to pave the way for me. Mirabelle's voice suddenly rose, laden with profound resentment. Noticing they were alone, she suddenly reached forward, clutching onto Callista's arm tightly. Her eyes held an intense, frightful look. What are you? A nobody. So why on earth are you engaged to Cal? I've always been the cream of the crop, known all over Horrington as the most suitable woman to marry. But do those ordinary men even deserve to dream of me? Yet the man I desire, why is he tied to you? Mirabelle's expression was filled with disdain and resentment. As a lady of a prestigious family, I had to lower myself to befriend you just to gain entrance to Fairchild Manor, just to meet K.A.L. And you. You, a good, for, nothing waste, how dare you step on me? By what right, the Whiteman family or the Quinn family? Looks. Do you think you're more attractive than me? Talent. Character. Callista shook her head, scoffing, on what grounds do you look down on me? With your plagiaristic character and almost zero talent? No, there's one thing. Your shamelessness has far surpassed mine. B**TCH. Mirabel shrieked, attempting to slap Callista across the face. However, Callista was quick to catch her hand. Under the cold and deep gaze of Callista, Mirabel seemed as ridiculous as a clown. Embarrassed and angry? Flustered. It's rare to see such expressions on your face. Do you know how you make me feel? You're shameless, that's what. I still can't believe that you'd stoop so low as to steal credit from a 9-year-old girl, brazenly claiming her life, saving deed as your own. I can't even stand to look at you without feeling disgusted. Callista rebuked. After Callista spoke, she gave a slight push and Mirabel found herself sitting on the ground. It wasn't that Callista exerted much force, rather, Mirabel's legs had gone weak under the calm yet intimidating aura of Callista. She just didn't realize it herself. This is really ridiculous. Callista took a moment to appreciate the disarray that Mirabel was in, before turning to leave. What she didn't anticipate, however, was just how provoked Mirabel had become. Mirabel first fixed her gaze on Callista's retreating figure, then suddenly picked up a stone and hurled it toward Callista's head. Sensing danger, Callista turned her head, instinctively wanting to dodge. Yet, at this very moment, her long skirt got caught on a large rock of the artificial hill beside her. For a moment, she was unable to avoid it. Watch out! Callum hadn't expected to walk into such a scene. Yet, instinctively, he moved with a speed barely perceptible to the naked eye, darted forward, and swept Callista into his arms, spinning around fiercely. A sharp sound pierced the air, and in a split second, Mirabel had lost control. Her face filled with terror as she lashed out at Callum. But the sight was even more horrifying for Callista, who was under protection. She was determined not to let Callum shed a single drop of blood. So, she suddenly mustered all her strength, and turned around while clutching onto Callum. The next second, a stone thrown by Mirabel hit her bare shoulder. Callista let out a muffled groan, blood already trickling down. At that moment, Callum's pupils contracted sharply upon seeing blood, and a chilling aura of terror and rage suddenly erupted from him. The very air began to simmer with tension. Callum instinctively pushed Mirabel away and held Callista tightly in his arms. After Mirabel fell into the water, she realized how deep the pool was. At that moment, she had no time to think about anything else and quickly cried out, "Help! Help! I can't swim!" Chapter 140. She has been lying. Callum dared not touch Callista's wound. After all, he himself was also in grave danger. Yet, Callista's selfless protection of him sent tremors through his body and soul. Holding her, Callum found himself somewhat at a loss. At that moment, Quintus rushed over and was taken aback upon seeing Callista's condition. "Mr. Callum, perhaps it would be best if you handed Miss Callista over to me. I'll take her to get bandaged up." Upon seeing Callista's evident discomfort, Callum, albeit reluctantly, let her go. His heart was filled with a lingering sense of unwillingness. However, even after Callista had left, he remained. His chest was filled with pent up rage that needed to be vented. As the cries of alarm grew louder, many people who heard the commotion came out to see what was happening. When they arrived, they discovered that someone had fallen into the water. Yet, amidst all this, Callum stood by the poolside, unmoving. "Quick, save her." Without a second thought, Wanda urged others to rescue the purse person. "Who dares to make a move?" Callum suddenly raised his voice in a furious shout. The anger he was suppressing seemed as if the person drowning in the water was his most despised enemy. Under Callum's intimidating presence, everyone around fell silent shockingly. They all just stood there, watching the girl flounder in the water. It was only when Mirabelle's parents recognized their daughter's voice that they let out a gasp and rushed over immediately. "Mirabelle!" Regina was just about to send someone to rescue her daughter, but her father coldly held her back. At that moment, he surprisingly asked Callum with a respectful yet tense demeanor, "Mr. Callum, I'm unsure of what my daughter has done to warrant such punishment from you." Callum shot him a glance, the anger in his eyes making George shudder. He had dealt with Callum before, but he had never seen that ever superior man actually having such a furious moment. However, at that moment, his daughter's cries were growing fainter. Fear gripped his heart, yet he mustered the courage to ask, "My daughter can't swim. This could end in disaster." "Mr. Callum, right, Callum," Wanda also walked over, a hint of urgency in her voice. "How about we focus on rescuing her first?" Callum suddenly let out a cold, mocking laugh. "Fine, save her." Upon seeing him relent, everyone hurriedly scrambled to rescue Mirabelle. In no time, Mirabelle was sprawled on the edge of the swimming pool, gasping for breath. Her makeup was completely smeared, and she was crying hysterically while coughing up water. Her face was in such a state that it was almost unbearable to look at. Just as everyone was about to help Mirabelle up, Callum suddenly stepped forward, blocking everyone from reaching her. The expressions on the faces of the Yost family members changed drastically. Could it be that Callum had a Shanma of heart just moments ago? She was in the water, desperately calling for help. Yet, in her peripheral vision, she saw that Callum was merely watching from the sidelines with an indifferent gaze. He didn't speak, and those around him didn't come to her aid either. For a moment, she thought she was going to die right there. Suddenly, she found herself wishing that if she could live, she would never aspire to be the lady of the house again. This man was terrifying. After knowing him for so many years, could actually watch her die without batting an eyelid. She was heartbroken and filled with extreme fear. If possible, she would have loved to distance herself from the Fairchild family forever. At that moment, she was gazing at the man standing loftily by the pool, only half a meter away from her. Her hand slipped, nearly plunging her back into the water. Fortunately, the man who had saved her from the water steadied her from behind. What's Callum trying to do? Does he have to drive me into a corner? Hadn't he decided to let me go already? Callum glanced at her, his gaze cold and unwavering. In the end, he let out a mocking laugh. Ms. Yost, could you tell me how you, a non-swimmer, managed to rescue me from a pool nearly as deep as this one 9 years ago when I was unconscious? Mirabelle's face turned ashen in an instant. Callum chuckled again, his imposing presence radiating fiercely around him, silencing everyone present. For all these years, whenever he lost his temper, even his own father would steer clear of his wrath, let alone these outsiders. I'm sorry, Mirabelle finally snapped back to reality, realizing that Callum had discovered her deception. She pleaded in a low voice, instinctively wanting to play the victim to get through the situation. However, due to her fear of Callum, even her attempts to appear pitiful were pathetically unbearable to witness. Suddenly, she reached out and clutched onto Callum's pants, her wrist trembling lightly. This time, she was truly fearful. "Kal, no, Mr. Callum. Mr. Callum, I won't dare to do it again, cough, cough. I truly won't, considering our childhood friendship, given our history as childhood friends." Callum slowly pulled up his pants, his smile chilling. "I've decided to shorten your time in jail by a few days." Jail. The Yost family members' already tense expressions shifted instantly. What on earth had their daughter done to face imprisonment? Callum slightly lifted his refined chin, speaking slowly with his eyes half closed. "Just now, she tried to murder Callie right in front of me. That's attempted homicide. Mr. Yost, brace yourself for a lawyer's notice." After speaking, he couldn't beg to look at Mirabelle anymore. He strode away, the thought of Callista losing so much blood making him frantic with worry. The menacing aura that hung around him gradually dissipated. Even Ryder, who was following behind him, couldn't keep up.